Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com. Debate physics also, and we have a little bit of commenting we can debate on a subject. So I'll get to that. It'll be on friction and the function of friction and how it should be understood and all that kind of crap. But I have to read this other stupid comment first, I guess. Okay, it says, you need to stop smoking. I haven't smoked in like 10 years. I've been vaping. But for the 40 years I did smoke, I never coughed or had any lung issue at all. Need to exercise. Yes, I could outrun you now, today. I could have done it 20 years ago. I could have done it 40 years ago. Okay, so it's just too silly a comment. I mean, it's just too silly. Probably the day I die, I'm going to be in better shape than you. I bet you my muscle to fat ratio is better than yours. Someone wrong with your breathing. Something's wrong with your typing. You can't even do that right, and you're giving people advice. You're giving them instructions. You don't have to. Try to live long. No, try to live healthy. All right. I probably eat healthier than you. I live healthier than you. I do everything better than you. You know, all of it. You know, every bit of my life has got to be better than yours, you stupid putts. And here you are giving advice. It's just so retarded. You can delete this. Yes, I will do that. And I think I'll just block you, frankly, because, frankly, these are physics videos. You know how fucking irritating this is to have some asshole do this crap? I mean, just fuck you. Jesus Christ. You know, you just say, what, you know, people should certainly have a right to die, you know, all these people that, you know, really need to. But we really should have an obligation to die. I mean, people that stupid should fulfill their responsibility and say, yes, I'm just here wasting neurons. I'm completely wasting them. I can't stay on a subject. I can't type right. I'm obnoxiously insulting for no good reason. I mean, it's amazingly stupid. So anyway, this is the context, right? The context of talking on the fucking internet. Amazing. Talking to human fucking beings. What a waste of goddamn time. All right, anyway. May you collect and type your thoughts on friction and gravity. I have done that, but whatever. I understand it's, you know, yeah, it's not that easy to get to, but some of the subjects really are. There's a ton of videos on certain subjects, and I do make videos that have that in the title, so you can find them. You have many videos and information, but not all compiled and hard to directly relate everything. Yeah, it's a little bit hard, but it's not impossible, frankly. You can type keywords in, key phrases, and you can find the videos. Both agree, understand some, and disagree, do not understand some with some interpretations. Yeah, that's great. And so all you have to do, so you can do your part. Your part would be ask the question like you did in the beginning here. So very good. If there's some subject you don't really understand what I'm saying, then ask me to say it again. I'll say it again. Say no problem. So if you wish to suggest a subject title, okay, then that's great. I will fulfill the title. I'll do whatever the title says I should do. I would like to play with the mathematics and concepts you use. Well, your choice if you want to, you know, play with dead things. You know, I don't, yeah, whatever. Math isn't the answer. Concepts are the answers. Understanding relationships between things is the answer. Now, math does that, but it's such a bizarre formalization. You know, I mean, saying the number 2 isn't really doing the 2-ness thing. And certainly not doing the 40 thing. You know, you write 40, it doesn't really show you 40, right? I can't even, you know, I don't have enough fingers to make 40. But you know what I mean? So you lose so much in mathematics. In my opinion, it's a lot better to understand them as concepts. I mean, even when mathematicians do that little cheat, you know, where they do the 2 pi thing, and you're saying, well, why don't you just put the real number in? If your formula says it's 2 pi and you already know what pi is, why don't you put the number in? If you already have numbers, put the numbers you already have already in, and then you don't have to mess with this. You don't have to say 2 pi. You can just say fucking 6.2. You know, make it easy. Make it understandable. Make it conceptually clear. But that's not what mathematics does, frankly. It's, you know, it's crap, most of it. You know, I mean, the Pythagorean thing is really good, but, you know, everything after that is really bad, really. Most of it is just crap. Crap-o-matics. It's not going to get you to the truth. It's not going to give you an understanding, conceptually, of the mechanics. Now, the thing I'm going to show now is going to be very complicated mathematically. It's all math we already know. So there's formulas for it, and you can do all the math. But it's incredibly complicated. All kinds of integrals, all kinds of crap you have to go through to get the answer. But you could draw it and see it happen. Or, you know, you can simulate it. You know, or you could physically do it. If you could, you know, get in a space shuttle or something, you could actually do the experiment. And it's going to tell you so much more, okay, than mathematics alone. The math isn't going to tell you anything. You know, it's not going to really show you what's happening. All right, so friction and gravity. So understand, friction is not a force. Friction is you, okay, just banging into something and giving it some of your energy. So you bang into a surface and your energy goes into the surface. And say, like a tennis ball, you bounce back with only 75% of what you hit with. You hit, the friction takes its percentage, and you go back with 75%. Because some of it ends up being wobble in the ball. You know, the ball, the rubber wobbles. And that's all lost energy. Because it pushes the atmosphere. So it loses the energy to the atmosphere with each one of those wobbles. So I could, like, you know, I can say, okay, just imagine you're in space and you have a, you know, a big solid object that doesn't have any gravity or something. You know, and the whole idea is I'm just saying, look, you're just applying friction. What's friction? So if, say, if you were spinning, right, the friction would just be, hey, you hit the surface and the amount of pressure I push you with, right? So if I pushed you hard into the surface, you know you're going to roll really well. If I hit you very lightly, just barely touching the surface, well, then you're going to have a very low velocity, right? So let's say it's spinning this way, okay? So it's going to go that way. Yes. Okay. You know, so it depends on how much pressure I put on it will dictate how fast it's going to go. And the same thing's true for a roadway, right? So if I'm rolling objects on a road, The problem with friction is that obviously the heavy thing is pushing into the surface harder. It's making better contact. So if you think of it as like electrical contact, more electricity can get into the ground because the heavier object is making better physical contact. All right, so it's going to lose more energy quicker than, say, a very light object that's not getting pushed as hard. All right, and so it's not making very good contact with the surface, and so it can go much further this way because it's losing less energy this way. And it's losing energy. Let's understand, friction is not some other force. It's not like gravity in an orbit. It's not some extra force that's helping or hurting. No, it's just you losing energy. Your energy this way is being pulled out of you, okay, into the surface, because you're hitting the surface and you're moving it, and the movement ends up going all the way through it and vibrating it and do all kinds of things, and it's lost energy. So it's just you starting with $10, and it's just how fast do you lose your money? How fast are your nickels and dimes coming off you? And the heavier you are, the faster you lose your money. The lighter you are, the longer you can keep going. Okay, so it's just about how fast do you lose your momentum. That's what we're talking about here, is your momentum. Not just your velocity, not just your mass. It's a combination of your mass and your velocity. And that's going to dictate what your total energy is, and how fast you lose it is going to depend solely on how freaking heavy you are by comparison. So if I do an equal comparison with a light object and a heavy object and they have the same momentum, the lighter one is going to hold on to its energy in this direction longer. All right, so the experiment really shows this, I think. It's one you have to visualize or imagine. But say you have a loop in space, all right? And now you throw something that's going to spin on that loop. So you throw something into the loop, okay, a little ball. And it just goes around and around and around. Now you can understand sort of what's going to happen, right? As soon as the ball hits this surface, the loop is going to be pushed in this direction. right? And it's going to start converting the motion in this ball into this direction. So it's going to, the loop is going to absorb this way, and that's going to mean that the ball, because it lost some of this way, is going to start going more and more this way, right? And so it's going to keep hitting the surface, hitting the surface, hitting the surface. And every time it hits the surface, it's going in one direction. Its momentum is pushing it this way against the surface, and the surface keeps pushing it this way, which means it keeps taking energy that way. So you can just see it as exactly kind of like a gravity argument, except in reverse. You're going to keep losing energy out. So when you first hit, you're going to move, the whole loop is going to move in that direction. And then it's going to move in this direction, and 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 it's going to start processing. Now, every bit of movement of that loop has to come out of your initial energy. So if you had a certain MV, a certain mass and velocity, every bit of motion that happens in the mass of the loop, so the loop has a mass, and now you've given that mass and velocity. So you're lost some of yours to give it to the loop. So every motion the loop takes, every movement it makes, is energy you're going to lose. So as you keep pushing the loop and obligating it to process, you're losing your percentage, a percentage of your energy to that procession. And eventually you'll stop moving because you're going to lose all your energy eventually. And eventually the only thing moving is going to be the loop. And that's the one, that's the momentum that's going to last, because the loop doesn't have anything to give it away to. So if it's an empty space, the loop will just keep rotating and post-processing because there's no atmosphere to absorb the energy. There's no contact. There's no contact with anything. So the loop is just going to keep moving and moving and moving and moving forever. And the ball is just going to be going with the loop. The ball is going to lose all of its energy to the friction, to the contact with the much bigger mass, and all of it's just going to get sucked out of it. So you can understand that friction just has to do with who's applying the pressure. So again, we're just back to this simple argument that if we could do all these experiments in empty space in a non-gravitational field, it's not just about empty space, it's being where there is no gravity, unequal balance of forces being applied to you, it'd be so much easier to understand, because you'd understand that all friction is like in a non-gravity circumstance, it's just contact. You're contacting a surface with a thing moving, and you're just going to apply your energy based on the contact. And that's all there's going to happen. So the heavier you are, the harder. So gravity is pushing you into the ground. And obviously, the heavier you are, the bigger the dent you're making in the gravity, so in the surface, so to speak, the more pressure it takes out of you. And this is the same thing that creates what they call inertia, which isn't a real thing. The only reason why objects on Earth have inertia, that is a resistance to movement, is because they actually are sunk. They actually are attached to the ground, and you have to break the attachment. You have to break the atomic connections it has to the ground before you can start to even move it. So you have to use the momentum first to break the contact before you can even get started. So you're automatically going to have less velocity than you started with, because you have to use some of it to break the inertial glue, the inertial contact, the initial contact. So it's just about, it's all just momentum. And you're just saying, well, what does gravity do on flat surfaces to objects? And what it does is exactly what Galileo would tell you it's doing, right? That it's going to do the same thing gravity does. It's going to be a 1, 3, 5, 7 kind of ratio, all right? You're going to travel the first part of your velocity, and the second part, in the second, it's going to be the same as another object going half as fast. It's just going to do this. This is all the other object's going to do, because you're going to do this in 3 times one-third the amount of time that you did this, the unit change. So the total amount of time you're going to take is 2, all right? And this will take 1. So you're only going to have twice the distance you're going to travel. Wait, that's not the way I want to say it. No, it's twice the time, okay, to travel 4 times the distance. because what's really happening is this is the lighter object and this is the heavier object. This one's losing its energy at twice the rate that this one is. And this one doesn't start losing it at that rate until it gets way down here, three quarters down the track. All right, so this is a more complicated argument, so don't take what I said here too seriously. Good thing is it's not even on the board. Because I don't want to get that subject. I'm just saying that friction is just going to be understood. The force is pushing you into the surface. And obviously, the harder you're being pushed into the surface, the more likely it is you're going to give your energy away to the surface. The better the contact, the more the energy can escape. And it's you can understand it that simply. And so you really can't measure something's total energy by measuring how far it goes. Because how far it goes, just like in this loop example, it's just going to matter on how heavy the surface is that you're making contact with. I make this loop heavier, the ball runs out of energy quicker. I mean, all I have to do is change the scenario a little bit, and I'm going to change how much it loses and how quickly it loses it. So this isn't some universal way to measure how much energy it has based on how far it travels. How far it travels is dependent on how much gravity is pushing on it, and how much mass it has. So mass is a real friction, road friction, in gravity. Has a huge bias in favor of lighter objects. Lighter, faster objects will do much better than slow, heavy objects in terms of losing their energy to friction. That's the closing statement. That's the fact. Friction isn't a counterforce. Friction is you losing your momentum, and it's you losing it proportional to your gravitational mass, which is smashing you into the surface you're losing your momentum to. It's pushing you harder into it, therefore you're losing more energy to it because you're making better contact. See, if I made this out of glass, then the ball lasts longer. If I make it out of rubber, the ball runs out of energy quicker. So the more contact they have between them, the faster the ball's energy gets pushed into the loop. The less contact they have, the weaker their contact, the longer the ball spins. So it's not about how much energy. How much it spins won't tell you how much energy it has. How much it loses to the other system, that's what's going to tell you in the end. But you can't just predict ahead of time and say, for this ball and this size loop, I'm going to lose this energy at this speed. No, it really depends on what the road is made out of. Makes a huge difference. All right. So force times distance is on its face. Can't give you right answers, because the distance is going to change depending on the surface you're driving on. So it can't tell you anything unless you're doing it in absolute space, in some medium where there is no friction. You can only make a fair comparison where there is no friction. As soon as you're applying friction, then you're cheating, because one will be pushed harder into the surface than the other. If I take the lighter ball and the heavier ball and I push them against the wall, but I push them with the same weight, that is, they're pushed and with exactly the same pressure, then you have a fair experiment. But obviously gravity doesn't do that. Gravity gives the more massive thing more weight, more pressure. All right. Kind of obviously. I mean, feathers on a scale weigh their atomic mass. They don't weigh more. All right, so, than a lead brick. Yeah, I really shouldn't have to explain that. But anyway, okay, so enough of a video. I think I read the whole thing, right? Yeah, okay. So good. That's an example of a good comment. I mean, he could even say it even more aggressively. I don't really agree with much of what you say. Even that would be okay. But it's polite, and it gets to the point. He wants the friction and gravity is what he wants to understand. So I'll answer your questions. But you could sort of see that writing it, refer to figure 4-1, refer to figure 4-2, you know, I'd have to go through referring to a bunch of figures, and, you know, it's hardly going to be as useful, okay, in terms of attempting to stimulate your imagination, because it's really just something you need to imagine. All right, so enough said. So, till the next time, and such, and so forth and whatnot. Ah, yes, this has been a DraftPhysics.com, DebatePhysics.com also, and such, and so forth and whatnot.